Hi, welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm Susanna Mars, and I am talking with Briley Negebauer from PDX Contemporary Ballet. And they have a piece coming up called Iterum Echoes, and it's going to be on June 2, 3, and 4 at New Expressive Works. And it's wonderful to have you today, Briley.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
I appreciate it. Yeah, my pleasure. And as you are a newer company in town,
yes.
I thought it would be a fun jumping off point just to ask how you ended up here, because I know you're from Seattle.
Yes, I'm originally from Seattle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I came down to Portland, oh gosh, I think it's been 3 or 4 years ago mm-hmm. at this point to dance professionally. And I kind of was really enjoying my professional dance career. And
you told me you were working at Polaris.
Yes, I was working for Polaris, and I was with Polaris for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went off and joined another company. And then from there, the company collapsed overnight, more or less. And there were a lot of dancers in the Portland area who were worse off than me. There were some dancers that quit their lives back in California or from even across the country and moved here expecting to start a new season, and then there was nothing.
That is a really interesting point you bring up. I don't know if many listeners realize that this happens to artists who come to be a part of a company, and if the company can't sustain itself, that they yeah. are really in trouble.
And it happens far too often. Mm-hmm. And it was sudden, and there was, you know, not a lot of communication, and it was very confusing. And so what was essentially left was a group of dancers with nowhere to go. And so I actually had a friend who approached me, and she said, you know, you've always wanted to have your own company. And that is very true. That was some like a dream and an aspiration of mine. Of course, I was thinking that would be more when I was around like 40 years old or something. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have the education. I was thinking about going back to school, maybe doing business or something like that. But she approached me and said, you know, why don't we do this together, and let's start something. There's people here. And so there was PDX Contemporary Ballet was founded off of that. Mm-hmm. And so the dancers we all got together and we put on 2 productions, and it led me down this life journey that I never expected. Mm-hmm. I really thought that I was just going to be there for a year and then I would move on to like somewhere else and just continue on my professional career elsewhere. But it was so hard because, you know, I was really, and myself and everybody involved, we were really learning, like, what does it take to run a company? What does that mean? And how right. do we do this? And
how did you assemble a board and those types of things?
Yeah, exactly. And like, what does the board do? And, you know, we have to write bylaws now. And it was a huge learning curve. Mm-hmm. And I had so much support from all the people around me, from my family and from friends, and even the dancers involved. And I mean, everybody was very involved in the mm-hmm. process. And so it took me, yeah, and I just was really expecting, like, oh, this will just be a year, and then I'll just, you know, because I'm here now, and I need to make my ends meet, and I got to work, and I got to just be here for a year.
Right.
But I think after that year, it completely transformed me into a new person, and I realized that there was potential for this company, and I think a lot of people wanted contemporary ballet.
And how do you feel that it fits into the grand scheme of dance in Portland? What void did you feel that you might be filling?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Part of it is contemporary ballet. So meaning like there's you know, the classical traditional Nutcracker, Swan Lake thing, which, you know, we all love and I still love to this day, but there's also the new, like, works on point. Mm-hmm. And that's like, it's new choreography and it's the new voices of choreographers. And I think that there's a lot of dancers who are kind of a little bit, they just want more than just the Nutcracker and they want to learn more.
Well, here's a question for you, just my very limited knowledge.
Sure.
Is I also love a classical ballet,
yes.
but I'm from my limited knowledge, as I'll say once more, mm-hmm. I know that the way choreography is communicated,
yeah,
is a footwork. And how do you, would contemporary ballet then also include more of an emotional content as a body on the whole versus mm-hmm. a classical viewpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that's a part of it. I think like the way that I would break it down is you would take something that you might see as maybe more of like more of like maybe a slightly more modern looking aesthetic. And then you would take that movement and put point shoes on it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not necessarily, it kind of falls in between the modern and it kind of falls in between the ballet. And I think the word contemporary is also a very like disputed word, mm-hmm. Especially in the dance world. I think it means something very different to each person. And I know what it means to me, but other people can 100% disagree.
What would you say then?
To me, contemporary is the mixture of modern and it's the mixture of ballet. Mm. But you could say no, it's maybe has a more jazz lyrical element, or it's about, or in its essence, it's about the emotion behind it. And so I think it's just, I don't really know what it means, but that's what it is for me.
Right. As an artist, you have an aesthetic. And yeah. I would bet it's probably difficult to merge the aesthetic that you mm-hmm. feel and see in your mind with words.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also because your body is your instrument.
Yes.
And words aren't necessarily a part of your expression.
Yeah. Which I find kind of freeing with the difference between use of movement between and use of words. Mm-hmm. You know, like words as a society, we have set up a language and each of those words have different meanings and you can interpret these language, you know, the words slightly differently or how they're presented. But I think with movement, I think you can really play with that interpretation and just, it's to me, it's a little bit freeing to know that when one person looks at this movement, the other person can get something completely different. And I actually really like that. And it kind of gives me freedom to, I don't know, maybe do what I want. Maybe that's the best way to put it, but it just, I don't feel constricted to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating. Now, when I think about On Point, obviously mm-hmm. that's a female artist. And I'm assuming, do you have men in your company as well?
We do not have any men in our company. Currently, we are hoping that one day we will.
Well, that's really interesting, yeah. too. So then, do most of your pieces consist of women, or do some dancers, do you think of yourself in a gender-based kind of world, or do you feel more genderless when you are creating a piece or working with various choreographers, you know, with this piece coming up in particular?
Mm-hmm. I would say that I don't consider like this company like a female company and that's the way it is or whatever. I think when I choreograph, and I think when a lot of choreographers, especially the ones that come in and work with the company, it's more like, here's what I have to work with, and now what can I do with it? Kind so in like this that. Case, it's like, okay, this happens to be all female. Mm-hmm. And so what can I do with these relationships? What can I do with who they are? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of more where I go off. I see what's in front of me, and then I explore
sense.
The possibilities.
Yeah, that's kind of wonderful.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about these three pieces that you're going to be doing in June.
Yeah, so Interim Echoes has three pieces. So they're actually by three different choreographers. One of them is myself. Another one is Kira Brinkley. Mm-hmm. And she has also performed with Polaris, and she also sets a lot of work on Polaris. And then another work we have is from somebody who's from Boston, mm-hmm. and her name is Margaret Weiss. Mm-hmm.
And how did you come into contact with Margaret?
She emailed me a long time ago. Not a long time ago, in reality. But mm-hmm. she emailed me and she wanted to be a dancer within the company. But, you know, at this moment, all of our dancers are all volunteer. And so nobody's getting paid. And so that works. You know, some dancers can make that work and other dancers can't make that work. And unfortunately, you know, she was I mean, like most people, it's hard to make that work. But she said to me, like, I would love to come out and choreograph. Mm. And so that is how that connection happened.
So how are most of your dancers making a living, or what are some examples of how they're doing this? Because that's another thing that's important for people who don't know what these artists are doing to continue making art.
Yeah. So our dancers, they come in and have class and rehearsal Monday through Thursday from 10:30 to 2. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 o'clock, and myself included, we all go to work and we all do our own separate things. I teach dance. We have some people who work in restaurants and who work retail, and it's all kind of varies, but we have our afternoons and our weekends and our Friday to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And so, I can say from experience, it's a very exhausting life, mm-hmm. but it feels worth it, mm-hmm. always. I know that, like, there are many days that I wish it was easier, because I don't like that artists, sometimes I don't like how they almost have to sacrifice their art for a living. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that I want to figure out, you know, in depth. And, you know, there are many arts organizations that do collapse, and it's like, how do we make this sustaining? How do we provide funds for our dancers so that they don't have to exhaust themselves, so that they can really do what they want to do and what they believe in?
Yeah, it's really interesting that the conversation about funding has come up quite a lot recently for a lot of reasons,
yeah.
including our president, mm-hmm. and the potential for cuts to the yeah. NEA and other arts funding yeah. organizations. And someone recently was quoting another person who talked about arts for art's sake and the yeah. beauty and the development of our culture, mm-hmm. and the happiness of our world.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it will be very interesting to see how things come about. But I think what I've kind of noticed, and maybe I'm in a bubble, like maybe I'm in my own little bubble because my friends happen to be artists and I'm generally surround myself with artists. But it seems like now that there is like more of a scare, it seems like I'm getting a lot of people who are really wanting to support the arts more. Mm. And maybe, you know, and like kind of where my thought process is right now is just like, maybe it's just the community. Like maybe we really need to reach out locally and we really like need to hit that really hard. Cause I think maybe locals are going to understand and they will, there's such a huge part of Portland that's the arts. And I think it makes Portland what it is. And so I would hope that people wouldn't want that to go away.
Well, it's interesting too, how can we as artists mm-hmm. be in the world that enthuses other people
exactly.
about what art can do?
Yeah.
Just in terms of going out and telling people what we do, not necessarily flyers or the traditional ways, but
right, exactly.
You know, how would you say you put yourself out and your company? How do you kind of go into that grassroots mode? What would you pitch to someone who was looking to fund the arts or to support the arts in some way? How would you go about it?
I don't even know. That has been, I think, our biggest struggle. And I think going in, especially to next year, that's going to be one of our huge focuses is how do we do that? I know that right now what we kind of focus on, especially with like our productions, we try to separate audience and performer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our upcoming show is at New Expressive Works, and it's a very, it's a large space, but there's not necessarily like a fourth wall. Mm-hmm. And there is this ability to, for the audience to be right there. And there isn't like, the dancers are not raised above on a stage. And when the dancers are on stage, they are right there with you and you are on the same level. And I think that's a really interesting concept. And I think that something that I feel like especially the younger people really want, they want to know the dancer. I mean, just think about like Instagram and Facebook, like they want to see what their life is like. And I think that really making that extra connection of like being right there with the audience member, I think makes something a little bit special.
Do you plan on doing, you know, post-show kind of talkbacks or any type of engagement in along those lines?
Yes, we are planning on having like a Q&A on opening night on Friday, as well as like an open to the public, like post-party kind of thing. Just come and hang out with us and just get to know who we are and just talk with us. Because I think that, you know, there's always a story behind the face.
Well, it's so funny because I remember when I first moved here, and this was way back when, that there was a campaign called Know Your Dancer, Oregon Ballet. Mm. And they had these big posters all over town with a photograph of the dancer in ballet attire, but in their natural habitat.
Right.
You know? And I just loved that because I find it so fascinating.
Yeah.
And probably because my dad was an actor and I knew that there were two lives. There's the life up there, and then there's the life on planet Earth.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is fascinating to me, endlessly fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how does it feel to you when you get on stage and you've had a day, and the day is what it was? Maybe you got a ticket to who knows?
Yes.
And then you get up on stage, and there you are. You're someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it... I remember like when I was just growing up, it was just, I remember like the ballet dancers and I was just so drawn to them. They were just so gorgeous. And I just always thought that they were like these different beings almost. And then just to like, it's almost like when you, like when you're young and you walk into your school teacher and it's in like the Safeway and you're like, wait, you grocery shop too? Like that's kind of like how it like almost felt. But I kind of like the idea that of just humanizing the dancers. And I think that's something that I really like to focus on of just in, you know, in their daily lives. And I think that it's actually a big part of what my piece is about for this upcoming show. It's about the daily, you know, a part of it is about the daily life of a dancer. They come in, they put their pointe shoes on, and then they rehearse and they repeat over and over and over again. And I think that, you know, when it comes to the show, people don't realize how much there is behind the scenes, and there is how much turmoil or how much happiness or how just like all that stuff that's so involved in our daily lives. And I feel like when it comes to the show, it's just like, here's this beautiful, pretty package. And to me, it's like, well, how do you humanize that beautiful package? How do you
kind of deconstruct
it? Deconstruct it. Yeah. And I think that was a very scary thing for me to dive into, because I think that there is some sort of, there is an expectation when you go as an audience member to a show that you're expecting something great and grand. And so that's been a very interesting line for me to play with, I would say, of how do I show the mundane day to day of what we do, and how is the audience going to react to that?
That's interesting. Now, how did you choose music for your piece?
The music chose me. Mm-hmm. I listened to Pandora, and I, especially over the summer when we're not rehearsing constantly and I'm kind of just starting to get ideas for a season, I just listen and I let something, if there's something that jumps at me, I just look at it and I write it down. And I happened to notice that there was these songs that would pop up and I'd write down, and I noticed that they all came from the same album. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, clearly I need to use this. And so it's Yo-Yo Ma plays Enrico Morricone. I'm probably totally pronouncing that wrong, but it's violin and cello, and it's very sorrowful at times. And it's just, I don't know what it is about it, but it just like, I just knew, I was like, I'm going to do a piece to this, and I don't know what it is, but it will hit me one day.
And how long did it take you to put the dance on the dancers?
Well, that's always complicated. I would say like what a lot of choreographers say was like, oh, it will take about an hour to create 1 minute worth of movement, which, you know, some choreographers can do quicker than that, or sometimes not. I mean, so that's a general baseline that I think that people will go off of.
I've watched Sarah Slipper put some dance on people, if that's the proper phrasing. And I love watching it. It's kind of like watching acting or directors side coaching actors or working on moments, and just that ability to watch and think and engage. It's really magnificent process. Do you enjoy it more than dancing, or do you enjoy it the same, or what's your most favorite piece of the puzzle?
I don't know. That's a really, I mean, I feel like I think here's what it is. I think what I like the most is giving something to a dancer and just kind of almost not saying much, but just be like, okay, do this and do this and do that. And then kind of letting just that go. And then them coming back the next day and then having to watch them work on it themselves and just to see what they do and what they got out of the very vague comments that I said, I think is quite incredible to like see them get from A to B, and then maybe I'll give them some more comments and then they go to C. And I think just watching them develop the movement into something else, I think is probably my favorite part.
It's funny. It reminds me of like a physical telephone. You know, you whisper the word and then it just shifts. And that's how it is. I mean, human beings can't identically, you can't give someone information and not live with the idea of their context influencing it.
Yeah. And I think that's why I try to, I mean, and that's like a very difficult place, you know, especially as a choreographer, like if you have like, oh, I have this message that I'm trying to get across. I mean, at the end of the day, as a choreographer, I'm working with other human beings that have their own lives. And so how do I kind of, because I don't want my life is not their life. And so I don't want to use 100% my exact experience. And because I'm sure they've developed something similar. Mm-hmm. And so I do speak to them very vaguely, which I think maybe drives them very crazy. And they're just like, just tell me. Mm-hmm. But because I like for them to think about it and for them to kind of dive into, you know, sometimes I'll give them some very basic character traits, or I'll just say like, you know, you fall and then you have a problem and you're going to have to make a decision. And the decision is you're going to have to leave or you're going to stay. And then that's kind of like a pathway, but it's very vague. And mm-hmm. so I try my best to have them or give them the ability to make that what they want it to be.
Which I would say is not necessarily the way many choreographers work. I mean, many choreographers work, you know, in a way that's very specific. This is what happens. This is how it goes. And
yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of works differently. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've kind of been on both ends of the spectrum mm-hmm. of it all. I think it just depends on the choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, you have the Iterum Echoes at New Expressive Works, which is on 810 Southeast Belmont, and I'll put a link to tickets on the website, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And this is Briley Negebauer, and thank you so much for talking about PDX Contemporary Ballet. It sounds like a really exciting company. And anyone who's interested in dance and interested in participating mm-hmm. in the company as a volunteer or...
Yes. We're even holding auditions for on June 17th. Then you can email me at info@pdxcb.com. And I mean, yeah, just you can anybody can email me there. And if they're interested in knowing anything more.
Now that's pdxcb.com.
Yep.
Great. All right, well, have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening to Adventures in Artslandia. Thanks for coming, Briley.
Thank you for having me.
Give me a chance to come through.